From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Free from the Law, O Happy Condition. As he continues his series in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns is expounding chapter 7. The law shows the sinner his need to be freed from what is essentially a covenant with sin and death, but it is absolutely powerless to effect that deliverance. Only the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary's cross can free a person from the penalty of his sin. As Dr. Cairns is explaining, Romans 7 declares that Christians are living under the grace of God, not under the law. Furthermore, this new life is not intended to be unproductive. Believers are to bring forth the fruit of holiness, for having been saved, they are now united to Christ in a covenant of love. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great English preacher of the 19th century, C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text comes from Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. The kindness and love of God our Savior. How sweet it is to behold the Savior communing with His own people. There can be nothing more delightful than, by the divine Spirit, to be led into this fertile field of delight. Let the mind for an instant consider the history of the Redeemer's love, and a thousand enchanting acts of affection will suggest themselves, all of which have had for their design the weaving of the heart into Christ, and the intertwisting of the thoughts and emotions of the renewed soul with the mind of Jesus. When we meditate upon this amazing love, and behold the all-glorious kinsman of the Church endowing her with all his ancient wealth, our souls may well faint for joy. Who is he that can endure such a weight of love? That partial sense of it which the Holy Spirit is sometimes pleased to afford is more than the soul can contain. How transporting must be a complete view of it! When the soul shall have understanding to discern all the Savior's gifts, wisdom wherewith to estimate them, and time in which to meditate upon them, such as the world to come will afford us, we shall then commune with Jesus in a nearer manner than at present. But who can imagine the sweetness of such fellowship? It must be one of the things which have not entered into the heart of man, but which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Oh, to burst open the door of our Joseph's granaries, and see the plenty which he hath stored up for us! This will overwhelm us with love. By faith we see as in a glass darkly the reflected image of his unbounded treasures. But when we shall actually see the heavenly things themselves with our own eyes, how deep will be the stream of fellowship in which our soul shall bathe itself! Till then, our loudest sonnets shall be reserved for our loving benefactor, Jesus Christ our Lord, whose love to us is wonderful, passing the love of women.
Set me free.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ, My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. But don't delay. The supply is limited. Call or write for your copy today.
Does not intend, follow this, mark it, never forget it. God never intends the marriage of sinners to Christ to be a fruitless or a childless union. That union is in order to produce the fruit unto God that genuine holiness is. Look at verse 4 and verse 6. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law, or ye were put to death to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law, having died to that wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. These are two wonderful texts, and I'm going to try to sum them up as briefly and simply as I can. Here is the joyous state of a believer. I didn't know Dr. Barrett was going to exercise his papal authority tonight and choose the hymn that he did. If I'd been thinking straight last night when I was choosing the hymns, I would no doubt have chosen the same hymn myself. The bride eyes not her garment. I am my beloved's. These are the expressions. And they are taken from this and similar passages. We are wedded to Christ in the covenant of grace. Here's the joyous state of believers. Notice these three particulars. By the death of Christ, we have been put to death as far as the claims of the law are concerned, so that it has no more claim on us. You were put to death to the law by the body of Christ. Now that "by the body of Christ" has called forth a lot of varied opinion. But I think the whole testimony of Scripture is simply this, that it's a reference to the crucified body. You are dead, you're put to death by the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider this. Colossians 1:21, you hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Hebrews 10 verse 10 says, we are sanctified, that is, set apart unto God through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Ephesians 2:15 says that Christ abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And Colossians 2:14 says that he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So the body of Christ here is a reference to his dying. By the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been put to death. Do you understand that? We have said it again and again. And yet it's so absolutely fundamental to the gospel. And yet we can overlook it and we can struggle with it and fail to get it in our minds. We're talking now about our standing with God. How a person comes to be accepted by God. We once were wedded to the law. Being wedded to the law, we were under its tyranny. Do this, do this, do this, do this. We were under its absolute dominion. We could never do enough. We could never do anything. And we fell more and more and more under its condemnation. We were like the adulterous wife. That's it. But Christ has come. And Christ has died. And Paul says, we died in him. Such is the union between Christ and his people, that the grace of God taking us out of Adam and putting us into Christ means that in his dying, we died to the claims of the law. God, by the death of the believer in Christ, has shattered the covenant that we have had with the law in order that now the law should have no more claim upon us. So that that law that once condemned us is now silent. Just as the law was silent to a woman who otherwise would have been counted an adulteress, when her husband died and she marries again, the law has nothing to say in condemnation. It has no claim on her in that regard. So similarly, we have died in Christ. The entire covenant with the law as a basis of our acceptance with God is gone forever, satisfied, and there's no claim now. I want you to understand, for Paul is going to take this up. He come to it in Romans 8. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. This is what he's saying. The law has nothing to say to condemn a believer in Jesus Christ. The law has nothing to say in condemnation of a believer in Jesus Christ. Keep learning it. Get it into your heart and get it into your head. Oh, the devil will condemn. The devil will accuse. But when you have an accusation against a believer in Jesus Christ, understand it is not the voice of God or his law. For Christ in his dying has slain our obligation to the law. by fulfilling it. There's nothing left to be done. He has done it all. We have died to the law by our dying in Christ, so that there's now no legal covenant that the law can hold us to. That means you don't have to obey God to be saved. Now, I didn't say it doesn't mean that a Christian doesn't have to obey God. I say that you don't have to obey God to be saved. For example, if you went to a woman who was married to for the second time legally, you say to her, your first husband's dead. You don't have to obey your husband. Try telling that to her second husband. You see, what we're saying here is, we are not under bondage to the law, but we're now in covenant with another. We're saved by another. We are wedded to another. It's not that we don't obey God. We don't obey God in order to be saved. We're saved by the obedience of Christ. And we obey God as the product of a union of love. We are wedded to Christ. That's the second thing then. Believers are united to Christ in a covenant of marriage. Now there you have one of the great themes of Scripture that I will not take off on tonight, for it would be really too large. You remember the words of the bride in the Song of Solomon 2 verse 16, "My beloved is mine and I am his." We were singing that tonight. That's why I got you to sing it again. It's an awful thing when we can sing things like that with hardly a thought. It's an awful thing when we can read things like this with hardly a thought. I am my beloved's, and my beloved's mine. I think of the words of Hosea the prophet to Gomer, his adulterous wife. The words of God to Israel, his adulterous spouse. And I believe that the very words of Christ to his believing people in Hosea 2:19 and 20, "I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord." It's the marriage union between Christ and his people. We have, at every marriage, practically heard the words of Ephesians 5 read, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Christ loved his church. I wonder, do we ever keep our attention going in that Bible reading down to the end of it, verse 30 and 30 to 32? "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." One flesh, one body. We are members, Paul says, of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Don't ask me to expound those words. I can't do it. And I don't know anybody else can either. Here we have a statement of the union of the bride with the bridegroom. Christ is the husband of his church. In the book of the Revelation, you have that wonderful picture of the Lamb's wife. The sinner who believes in Jesus becomes a member of that body, a member of that Christ, and they are joined together in a union of life. Notice that verse 4 of our Bible reading says that we also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. It's a union of life. The covenant with the law issued in death. Didn't Romans 6 end with the statement, "The wages of sin is death"? The soul that sinneth, Ezekiel tells us, it shall die. Paul writes to the Galatians, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them." That the marriage of the sinner with death or with the law issues always in death. But the marriage of the believer with Christ issues always in life. It's a union of life. It's a union of love. Who can tell the love of Christ toward his church? He loved his church and he gave himself for it. Who can describe that love? How can we ever come to any appropriate conception of that love? We can use human terminology, get as close as we can, but when we have done so, we're like a little child with a little bucket and spade, and we're at the edge of the great Atlantic Ocean and we're trying to put the ocean in the bucket. We can't ever come to a true conception of the magnitude and the majesty of the love of God in Jesus Christ, that God's dear Son would be wedded to us. That's amazing. Have you ever read that book of Hosea? You know, the book of Hosea is so radical that to this day, commentators and translators and scholars argue over whether Hosea actually had to marry a harlot or whether he didn't. But whatever's happening to Hosea, do you see the message? God came down into the world. He didn't effect a marriage between his son and the holy angels. He didn't set up a wedded bliss between Christ and heavenly beings who had never sinned. He went down into the cesspool of their sin and he found them in their filth and their wickedness and their hellish ungodliness, and he took them out and he purchased them with his blood, and he washed them in his blood, and he sanctified them with his blood, and then he united them to himself, meeting their covenant with the law and shattering it by death. He united them to himself in a union of everlasting life and everlasting love. Oh, the love that Jesus had for me to suffer on that cruel tree. It's more than tongue can tell.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.